The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Tuesday to you. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and today we're happy to have along for the adventure Steve Elkins, who is a wonderful friend of the Grace Evangelical Society and has some wonderful thoughts that I think will really bless us. Our topic for today is this: how does Lordship Salvation understand saving faith? And what is the Lordship Salvation view of repentance? Well, we've got lots to talk about, so let's get right to the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Steve Elkins. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And in the studio with us is Steve Elkins. We've been going through different questions about Lordship Salvation. You wrote your master's thesis under Glickman. I'm forgetting his first name.
Craig Glickman.
Shout out to Craig Glickman. And it's on Lordship Salvation. In this episode, we're going to talk about two things which are so crucial, because every Christian will say that salvation is by faith. The question is, what do they mean?
And they will almost all say it's by faith and repentance.
Yeah, if you check out your church's statement of faith on what it means to be saved or how to be saved, they'll always say, if you repent and believe, repent and believe. Just as a knee-jerk reaction, whenever they evangelize, if we don't also add in raise your hand or walk an aisle, people will say you need to repent and believe to be saved. Let's talk about that. How does Lordship Salvation understand those two terms when it comes to the saving message?
First, let's talk about just the idea of faith, because that's a major battleground, I guess you could say.
Yes.
Years ago, after MacArthur wrote the book, The Gospel According to Jesus, shortly thereafter, he wrote another book called Faith Works on James 2. And then he later delivered a paper that year at the ETS meeting, a conference of scholars, to the effect that he believed faith should have its definition changed in the lexicons.
A lexicon's a dictionary.
Yeah, that's the, especially Bagdi and other lexicons that are considered the standard works for knowing the New Testament words. And he felt that the word faith, in light of James 2, what his interpretation of James 2 was, should be redefined to mean something like commitment or yieldedness or surrender, something to that effect. And Earl Rodmacher had the answering paper, and he said at least two or three crucial things. One, he said, you can't just take a word in the lexicon and make it mean whatever you want it to mean.
Mm-hmm.
He said the words, the definitions they arrive at are based on thousands and thousands, all the extant uses of the word, not just in the New Testament, but in secular Greek at that time. The word believe means believe. It means to be persuaded, convicted about something. It always deals with a proposition, etc. And he said, what you're doing is you're letting James 2 be the tail that wags the dog, a very highly debated passage at that. He said it would be wiser to let the dog wag the tail. The 150 or so clear verses all say we're saved by faith apart from works, lest any man should boast. So maybe, he suggested, we should redo our interpretation of James 2. Let's look at it again. And he said, I would suggest Zane Hodge's interpretation as the place to begin.
So you said something, one of the things you said there, and John MacArthur would be an example of this. A lot of our listeners will have heard of him. But what you just told me is that there will be people, there will be preachers and teachers and missionaries who will tell you, you are saved by believing in Jesus. And they will use those words. Mm-hmm. But what they actually mean is the exact opposite of what they're saying. What they actually mean is you're saved by working for Jesus, by committing your life to him. Even though they're using the word believe, what they really are teaching is works, salvation.
Exactly. We had a nice coach from one of the high schools come speak at our youth group many, many years ago over in East Dallas. But he got up there and he said the word faith or believe, it means commitment.
Yeah.
Where did he get that? From the stuff that's out there.
Right.
You know, what's interesting, and I know, Steve, you love John 11:25-27. In fact, I remember it was probably about 1988 or something. You and I were playing golf at Tennyson, and Steve's a scratch golfer. For a time, you were a plus handicap, right? Plus five or something. So that means he would shoot 4 or 5 under par every time he played. But I remember him pointing out John 11:25-27 as a pivotal passage in this whole debate. One of those verses, we get the word believe 3 times from Jesus and once from Martha in those 4 verses. One of the questions is, Jesus says, do you believe this? Well, when he asks the question, do you believe this, he's not asking anything about her level of commitment. He's not asking about whether she's going to persevere. He's not asking whether she's turned from her sins. She's not asking if she's obedient. He's just saying, are you convinced this is true? And her answer is affirmative. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. There's nothing there about commitment or obedience, dedication or surrender. All of that is added by the people who are uncomfortable with the idea that we're saved by faith apart from works.
It's crazy. And, you know, modern Calvinists who tend to be most of the Lordship Salvationists that we're talking about, they pride themselves in being followers of Calvin, and yet you use the word convinced as a synonym for faith. Calvin had not only the same view of assurance that we do, Calvin himself, but the same view of faith or belief. He said, biblical faith is just assurance, conviction, persuasion, confidence, and many other similar synonyms to that. It's our exact same position. In fact, Gordon Clark, you guys know, he's a five-point Calvinist. He wrote a great book, a little bitty book called Faith and Saving Faith. And he pointed out, not only is that what faith is, it's just persuasion or conviction, confidence, etc., that something is true. But it always deals with propositions. There's not a subjective, fuzzy element to it.
Let's explain what a proposition is. Like, if I say the word tree, that's not a proposition. But if I say a tree is a plant, that's a proposition.
You're making a claim, and the claim can either be true or false. And what you're believing is whether the claim is true or false. So if you say the word tree, there's nothing to believe about the word tree.
Right.
I can believe, oh, Bob said the word tree. That's a claim.
Right.
So a proposition is a claim about reality. That
and it can be true or false.
Yeah. And you're either persuaded that it's true or you're persuaded that it's false. Another popular, I think, more recent Lordship Salvation understanding of faith comes from Matthew Bates, and he defines faith as allegiance.
Right.
You've heard this. Mm-hmm. Isn't it true, though, that when you do go to the lexicons, there is a range of definitions for faith? Like, for example, under pistis, which is the noun, faith, BDAG, the leading one, has faithfulness, reliability, fidelity, commitment. That is one of a, it is a possible definition of faith, faithfulness.
Part of the issue is what verses you're looking at. For example, you do have pistuo, is some 8 times in the New Testament, it does refer to God committing things to people.
Entrust, like, for example, yeah, pistuo, this is the second definition, to entrust oneself to an entity in complete confidence with implication of total commitment to the one who is trusted.
That's been added, by the way, because if you go back to Bag D, which is what Steve was mentioning, in the earlier version, that statement was not there. But a Lordship Salvation person came in and added that, because the problem with that is if you look up all 8 uses of pistuo where it does refer to commit, all 8 are God doing the committing. It's never the human doing the committing.
Right.
It's always God has committed the gospel to me, Paul says, right?
Good point. In fact, when you said commitment earlier, it was in reference to pistis,
yes,
the noun. There's no example in the New Testament where pistis means commitment.
But even if, I think the point, though, is people need to be careful about this. Even though words have different meanings, whatever a word means in a particular verse will depend upon that context, right? You can't just pick out your favorite definition in the lexicon and then just import that into every single verse where it appears, right?
Yeah.
And when you look at, let's say, John's gospel, especially in light of Paul and stuff, faith is exclusive of works when it comes to this, the condition of salvation.
Right.
That's why Paul can make his whole argument by faith apart from works, because they're mutually exclusive.
That's right.
By the way, Sean, I think part of what you're discussing on pistis, when it can mean faithfulness,
yeah,
sometimes, for example, Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, some people translate that even the righteousness of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So they would say that refers to Jesus' faithfulness.
Yeah, his work.
Well, that's a question you need to look at. I think faith in Christ is better here. But if it's faithfulness, it's not our faithfulness.
Right.
It's his faithfulness. The fact that Jesus is faithful to his promise is why John 3:16 is true.
Right. And to support our position, pistuo, for example, the very first definition is to consider something to be true and therefore worthy of one's trust, i.e. believe. So that's this being
right,
persuaded that something is true. So Lordship Salvation people, as we've said, sometimes they look at faith and they understand it in terms of commitment, But there's another word that's a big part of this, which is repentance. Right. And people will say repent and believe, and they'll say it's two sides of the same coin. What would you say about that?
And just to piggyback on that, a lot of people say if you haven't preached repentance, you really haven't preached the gospel. These people, what they end up doing is conflating. That means combining passages, for instance, that are specifically to Israel, which the message to them about the good news of the kingdom was all about repenting, because the Old Testament promises and prophesies that when Israel is in that repentant state, that's when the Messiah is going to come back. That's when the kingdom's going to be ushered in.
I love this point.
That's super important.
It is super important. This is what you're saying. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, people go there and look at the good news, quote unquote, there, as if it's the good news of how you can be personally born again. And they totally miss that this is the good news of the kingdom. And so the repentance, which you find all throughout those books, always relates to the good news of the kingdom, which I totally agree with you.
And who's it spoken to? It's spoken to Palestinian Jews. Then the next thing they do is they conflate Great Commission type passages. The Great Commission passages are more than just the gospel. They're about making disciples.
Go, therefore, and make disciples.
Yes, and so a big part of Christianity and discipleship, the Christian life, that is repentance. Of course, that's part of the disciple-making message. But when you conflate discipleship passages with clear gospel passages and say, well, faith must include repentance or it must include discipleship, then you've just messed everything up.
And guess what? John 3:16 doesn't even mention repentance.
Of course not.
The whole book of John doesn't mention.
So very quickly, what does it mean to repent, in your opinion?
Generally, it means to turn from one's sins or to feel sorry for one's sins. It has everything to do with our harmony and relationship with God. It has zero to do with getting eternal life. Now, it might prepare a person to get eternal life, but it's not used in John for a reason. He's talking about the clear terms of eternal life, and you get that by just believing, period.
All right, very good. This is great stuff, Steve. Love this conversation. If you guys have also, then be sure to check out the previous episodes and stay tuned as we discuss how to share faith with Lordship Salvation people. If you've liked what you heard, stay tuned for the next episode as we go deeper into the issue of Lordship Salvation. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we are going to discuss how to share our faith with Lordship Salvation people. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.